the longest running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Good morning. We are back here in studio on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, your favorite source of just about anything goes motorsports content, pulling no punches, swinging for the fences. And today we got one hell of a guest list to kick things off. I feel like I've been out of the studio for far, far too long. Last week we were, we've been at the Mint 400. I've been at the Lucas Oil opener. We've had IndyCar kickoff. NHRA, I don't know, man. It's been crazy. Kyle Busch won like 200 races or something over the weekend, and we don't even talk NASCAR, but we probably are going to touch on it today. And not only that, we've got like this insane guest list. We had one of the biggest rallies in the United States happen this past weekend, a 100 Acre Wood Rally. We got my good friend with Subaru Rally Team USA, David Higgins. He's on the show in hour number two. This is one, since he's in the UK, we recorded yesterday, and I got to tell you, this is worth hanging on and listening to. Spent 25 minutes with David, and I got to tell you, this is probably my favorite interview I've ever done with David Higgins. If you're a rally fan or you're a motorsports fan, you got to listen to this interview with David Higgins. You are going to dig it. It's so good. I'm going to give it the Project Action treatment this week. Yes, it is that good. You know you got to tune in when it's going to be in the Project Action treatment as well. So we got David Higgins. Not only that, but we got a little IndyCar today. That's right. Zach Veach, my man Zach Veach for Andretti Autosport. He is going to be calling into the show. We're going to be talking about this weekend. We got Circuit of the Americas, COTA, right? Formula One track? Nah, we're taking IndyCars to COTA this week, and we got Zach Veach on the line to tell us all about it. Not only that, we got Supercross. Yes, we are knee-deep in Supercross, and you know what that means? That means we got to get a Supercross rider on the show, right? Yes, that means Mike Alessi is calling into the show today. We're going to talk about, just his current foray stint in Supercross, coming back to run and fill in for four rounds, and always fun to catch up with Mike Alessi. So we got a slam-packed show today, especially when you add in power rankings in hour number two as well. So, yes, we'll be back to kick things off right after this here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you.
But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Well, where do we go from here? That is right. Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And, yeah, where do we go from here? That's what I'm asking you guys. We got so much to talk about. It's been so long since I've caught up with you, at least live in person. I don't quite know where to kick this thing off. We aired a show last week. It was all recorded out there at the Mint 400. If you haven't tuned into that thing, calling my shows things now, right? Thing. If you didn't tune into that thing. That show last week, good stuff out there at the Mint 400, caught up with a lot of my good friends, and it's just fun. Anytime you do a live show at an event, it's rad. So, the Mint 400 did go down, and I got to tell you, did not disappoint. My race is a bit disappointing. Got into it with another car, got landed on. I'm sure you guys have seen the photos by now on my social media, kind of ended our day. We continued on a little bit, patched the thing together, and didn't quite work out as planned, but we had a really, really good car, too. That's what's a bummer. But anyways, yeah, so that happened, and then we got the UTV World Championship. We're about 2.5-3 weeks out from that, so I will be heading over to Laughlin for the UTV World Championship to compete there in my Razor again. Looking forward to that event. Should be a whole lot of fun. So that happened a couple of weeks ago, and then this past weekend, wham! I had to go out and host a live stream, and I'm the new, voice of Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, or one of the voices. Super stoked on that. It's one of those. I've known about it for a while, but wasn't able to really fully talk about it. But, they brought me on board. I'll be doing the Midwest stuff again, Crandon and Bark River. Don't think I'll be at ERX, but Crandon and Bark River, and then all the stuff on the West Coast for Lucas. So looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. Calling the action. But I got to tell you, Glen Helen this past weekend, under the lights, anytime you race short course trucks under the lights, it's a rad atmosphere. But Glen Helen, it's one of those iconic tracks, home track to a lot of drivers. So you add in that. And then in addition to, it's not a double event weekend, right? It's a single header event. And, I think a lot of the drivers don't like it. It's really expensive to go to one race, but then they do like it. I now am sold on it. I absolutely love the single event weekends. And here is why. It's because, when guys got a race on Saturday and they got a race on Sunday, they say they're not, but they're a little bit more conservative on Saturday. You can't ball the truck up. You can't yard sale it, right? Because at some point you got to race the next day, So any damage, you rip an A-arm off, you do something crazy, it's going to come back to haunt you the next day. Either that or your team's going to hate you because they're working all night long to try and repair your damaged truck so you can turn around and race the next day. Well, with these single event weekends, like we saw at Glen Helen, it's absolutely gloves off, no holds barred slugfest because you don't have to race the next day. You leave it all on the track. And as we saw, Pro 4, you want to talk about a wild, wild race. If you guys don't already, I'd go over to Lucas Racing TV, the app, and watch this thing on demand. And I'm not saying skip past everything. Fast forward to the Pro 4 race, because Pro 2, Pro Light, everything was a good, good race out there. But, man, Pro 4, I don't know if I've ever seen that much shenanigans in one race. So Mittag led the thing almost wire to wire. He ends up breaking something, running into the K-rail with like a lap to go. Kyle LeDuc, who is always ridiculously fast, he was all the way to the front at one point, I think to second, made a mistake, spun out like three different times. He almost rolled it, put it up on the bike like once or twice. He went all the way back to like last place at one point. Then he drives like all the way to mid-pack, goes all the way to the back, and then all the way to the front, and he takes the win like on the last lap of the race. Then you got my boy Greg Adler. Greg Adler, poor dude, puts it up on his side. So he's got one rollover, right? Puts it up on its side, goes all the way to the back. And then, you know, they got to get the tow truck out, yank him down, boom. And then Greg Adler gets her fired up. He starts charging through the field. Then he wrecks, like literally wads this thing up, barrel rolls like Adrian Chenny style, like five times. Boom, 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 like barrel rolls the truck, right? Everybody think it's yard sale. He goes into the hot pit. They pull some body panels and some shrapnel off the truck. Then he goes back out there, and Greg Adler charges back to get third place in a podium. Like, I've never seen a guy literally wreck twice in one race and still get a podium. Absolutely shenanigans. I don't even know how to put it into perspective any more than that. It was one of the wildest short course races I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. And you know, granted, there was only seven trucks, but all seven of these guys, man, it was no holds barred at Glen Helen. I absolutely loved it. It's worth the watch on the Lucas Oil, you know, Racing TV app. If you don't have it, it's worth the download. This isn't me like pimping for the company here, like, hey, go and spend your $7.99 a month or something like that. No, like legit, it's worth it. You know, not only that, you got Pro Light, my boy Ryan Beat, you know, dominated there. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal race. And then Pro 2. Pro 2's a little bit different. They've got their what they're calling the Pro 2 M motor, you know, which is basically kind of similar to the engines they run in the Midwest. And then they moved to DOT tires this year, right? And then with the merging of the class, they're starting the guys with the Pro 2 M motors ahead, almost like a staggered start, almost kind of like a Crandon type thing, right? Anyways, like Corey Winter, you know, he and Daly Pinnego got to start in the front because they've got the less horsepower in the Pro 2 M motors. Anyways, Corey Winter, to this kid's credit, drove a phenomenal race. And then on the last lap, literally half a lap to go, Corey Winter in his very first ever Pro 2 race is actually going to take the victory. Ends up having a problem of some sort and heartbreaker for him. Jarrett Brooks ended up winning, which great for Jarrett Brooks. I don't mean that in you know, any offense. Like Jarrett, a good friend of mine, hell of a race car driver. Just Corey Winter, he, you know, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal effort by Corey Winter. And just half a lap to go and just narrowly missed it. But what we learned is Corey Winter, this kid, he's going to be tough. He is going to be tough in 2019. Definitely looking forward to seeing what young Corey Winter has up his sleeve for the rest of the year. And, you know, and then, you know, I don't know, just, you know, you had UTV racing. It was exciting. Corey Weller had one hell of a run there. I don't know. I guess the big thing to me, the scary thing, Pro Light, solid entry list, Pro 2, solid. I wonder, and this is whether we're talking Midwest or we're talking West Coast, and a lot of people are going to hate me for this, and I'm going to get text messages. You wonder how much longer Pro 4 is going to stick around. We all love it because it's the premier division of short course. Like, we absolutely love Pro 4. Everybody does. Trucks are just bad fast, ridiculously crazy. We love Pro 4. Midwest, they had, what, five last year? West Coast, they've got seven. You know, they're just expensive to run. They're the premier division, but truck counts are hurting, man. Like, and then you got Pro 2, and you know, what did we have? You know, 16, I think, at Glen Helen. Like, you just wonder, like, is it, you know, I don't want to say put that class out to pasture because it's just still ridiculously quick, but man, the cost to run that and the exposure is the same as you get in a, for a Pro 2 or Pro Lite. So it's kind of, I don't know, man. I wonder, and this isn't, I don't think, this isn't any organization actually canceling, you know what I mean, the class. I just think, like, in the next 5 years, I don't know if there's going to be any entries left. I think everybody's just going to migrate to kind of Pro 2. It's just my feelings. Like, it's kind of looking that way. It's kind of scary, man, to even think that Pro 4 is dying like it is, but... You know, it's tough, man. It's a tough market for motorsports right now to find sponsorship. And, you know, when you got a Pro 2 versus a Pro 4 and the costs are drastically more expensive for a Pro 4, makes sense to go with a Pro 2. So, you wonder what's going to happen. You never know with these things, but, yeah, I don't know. Just one of those trends I'm watching. But anyways, yeah, I would like to have your guys' thoughts on Pro 4, Pro 2, what you thought of Glen Helen. If you watched, any questions for any of our guests, hit me up on social media. It is at JimBeaver15. Love hearing from you guys. Love taking fan questions. We've got power rankings in the second half, but coming up here after the break, we're going to have Supercross rider Mike Alessi on the line right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by, that's right, Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZs, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to 3 full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome one of my guests this week, Mike Alessi, to the line, who is actually just getting off the track and practice at Indianapolis. Man, how's everything going?
Everything's going great, man. The track is awesome. I'm looking forward to a great race tomorrow night. Saturday, 7 o'clock is when the racing starts, so hopefully any of the fans that are in the local Indianapolis area come on out and watch us, cheer us on. It's going to be some serious bar banging for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, let's talk about this year, because this is your third race this year under your belt, at least here in Supercross, man. How's it feeling being back on the bike? I know Daytona's always a big one. You probably had a little bit of nerves before then, but, I mean, how is it being back, you know, in the 450 ranks this year?
Yeah, it's been interesting for sure. Taking 2 years off of Supercross is never ideal or easy to just get jumped back right into the, you know, to race with these guys, the world-class Supercross riders, and being halfway through their series. So it's been interesting, a lot of nerves, excitement, just a lot of emotions all in one. So it's a lot to take in for sure. But I enjoy being back and thankful for the Smart Top Bullfrog Spas Honda team and GDR Fox Racing and Alpine Star, just all the great sponsors that I have.
Yeah. Well, and you're definitely very much a veteran, you know what I mean? And how hard is it for you? Because, I mean, I look at that, and I'm like, obviously, you've been on a bike, you know, the past couple of years, but you said take 2 years off of Supercross, you know? And but, I mean, how is that to get back and get into your groove? Because, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, weekend after weekend, you get into a groove and you click things off, and season after season, and then to kind of like, we're going to pause this Supercross thing for a couple of years and then come back. I mean, how hard is it? You know, obviously you've been on a bike, but there's got to be a little bit of Supercross rust. I mean, you know, how hard is it to get back up to speed? Obviously you're making main events. So, you know, that's gotta feel good. But how has that kind of process been, man?
Well, first off, like at first I thought it was just me, like in Atlanta. I was like, man, either I'm really rusty or the pace is up, because the guys are fast right now and I'm just like, what the heck is going on? So I had to understand, like, being away from 2 years, like you said, the rust was there and the nerves, it's just you just got to work yourself back into racing shape. But at the end of the day, it's just like anything else. It's like riding a bike. So you never forget. You just become a little bit rusty. But after a few races, we're good to go. And that's where I feel like I'm at right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about that, and I think you're one of the few guys, you know, probably you and Reed and a few others that could kind of chime in on this and actually talk intelligently about it because you're still racing. But I mean, you know, how have you seen the sport change in the past decade in the 450 ranks? I mean, you know, you're a guy that you've been up front. You know what it takes to run up front in 450s. I mean, what's the biggest change you've seen? Because I'm looking at this, man, and it seems like, you know, in years past, there might be one or two or three guys that may take a win. This year, man, it's anybody's game. I mean, how have you seen the sport kind of morph in the past decade?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because in the reality of life, things are always evolving. Bikes are getting faster. The riders are getting quicker. The training is getting harder. Like, everything is evolving, and as things evolve, riders get stronger and faster. They get fitter, and we're in a day and age where almost all the motorcycles, like, let's be honest, they're all pretty competitive and pretty much equal. There's not, like, one that's super much better than the other, so the bikes are all pretty equal, and it all comes down to the rider and the mindset, the training. And that's why I feel like you're seeing an evolution of multiple different riders that can win. And any night can be first one weekend, and the next weekend they come back and they're 10th or 11th. And it just shows just how competitive the 450 class really is now.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and somebody like you that's been around for a while and, you know, you kind of know what it takes to set up a bike to certain tracks and things like that. I mean, you know, looking forward, I don't know, what's the schedule look like for the remaining rounds? And I mean, what are some of the goals, I mean, you know, for the rest of this season?
Well, I'm on a four race. I'm filling in for Vince Freeze because he did his ACL at Dallas a couple weeks ago. So for me, I was doing Atlanta, Daytona, Indianapolis, and Seattle. So next weekend will be my last race. Goals, you know, just have fun, get out there, just make sure I'm in the main event, and just enjoying the moment. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, and I know I read something, I think it was maybe one of your interviews last year and stuff like that, and you were talking about, you know, you want to still compete, whether it be in Canada, here in the United States, you know, for a few more seasons. You know, obviously, you know, what's, looking at the next couple of seasons, I mean, I know, you said you've got a kid now, so that kind of changes perspective on things and such. But, I mean, what do you think of the next couple of years? Do you like to be back on 450s? Are you kind of eyeing things in Canada? I mean, in your perfect world, what would things look like?
Well, like you said, I got a 8-month-old baby, so and I'm almost 31 years old, so it's not like I'm a young pup anymore. I'm not a 19-year-old kid competing in my first season. It's this is going to be my 16th season racing professional since 2004 and battling with Carmichael and Wyndham at Still City in 2004. Like, that seems like a million days ago, and I'm still competitive, still racing at the highest level in Supercross. And like I said, I don't know how long I want to race. I would say probably at least another 2 or 3 years, and I think at that time maybe be ready to just be done and just enjoy being a father and a husband and enjoy the rest of my life. Really, that's what I honestly feel like. I could put in another good two more years, maybe 3 more years, and then after that, 100%, that'll be it.
Yeah. You feel like you want to stay involved in the sport after that, though, in some capacity, you know, with a team possibly, or, you know, because, I mean, you know, guy with your experience, you bring a lot of things to the table.
Well, if the opportunity came and arose and it was something that I wanted to do, I would definitely entertain it. You know, like I said, I've been doing this since 2004, traveling, you know, across the country, hotel to hotel, rental car, you know, living out of a suitcase. It gets kind of old after a while. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's necessarily something I'd want to do, but if the right opportunity came along and I liked it, I would definitely entertain it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's got to be, you know, you talked about that and you've carved it out, and I got to give, you know, you credit, because there's a lot of guys. I mean, I look at your career and You know, how can you not say you weren't successful? You know, I look at this and I go, how many guys do 2 or 3 years and you never hear of them again? You know, here you are, like you said, in your 30s, you're still pounding it out, man. I mean, you got to be, part of you has got to be, you know, giving yourself a pat on the back at some point saying, you know, I actually did this. You know, I made a career out of this where so many people haven't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of people have said maybe I've had a failure of a career, but man, if you definition of a failure career is being second place in the championship, was it 5 or 6 times in my career, and I've made very good money in my career. I've met my beautiful wife when I was 15, and we have a beautiful daughter, and man, I got an awesome home back in Florida. I mean, I got 30 acres that I get to do whatever I want to do, go fishing, if I want to go hunting. If I want to go ride my motorcycle, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, on my own property. So I guess if you call that a failure of a career, then I guess most people would take that all day long.
Yeah, I was going to say, I call it winning at life, man. But so
I'm definitely blessed and have had a great career, great life, and I've definitely enjoyed the ride.
Yeah. So that being said, I mean, we got Indianapolis and Seattle, you know, you had said on this four event, contract you've got. I mean, looking at Indy, looking at Seattle, I mean, what's it going to take? What are the goals? I mean, obviously, you know, I think you're one of those guys, you look at things and it's, you know, you approach it, you know, it's like, all right, make the main event. All right, top 10. All right, top 5. I mean, you know, I feel like you've got a strategy to things. I mean, what's it going to take to have some success these next 2 rounds?
Well, I mean, success is, you know, the definition of success can be in a whole different types of results, rides, whatever it may be, and what you feel is successful. I mean, my most successful Supercross of my career is 2009 Indianapolis Supercross. I was on the podium with James Stewart and Chad Reed in the 450 main event. And for me, that was my best Supercross of my career. So, and almost on the heat race, I was second in the heat race. So for me to try to replicate that this weekend would be a huge, huge ask. I mean, it's a huge goal.
Yeah.
Is it out of the question? I mean, nothing is ever out of the question or not possible. So I'm going to go in with an open mind, have a good race, have some fun, and just enjoy the moment, racing my competitors and being on the highest stage of the Supercross and racing the world's best riders.
Yeah. Is there ever any point, you know, because you've been around the sport for a while where you're out there, and I mean, it humbles me, you know, and I've obviously never raced dirt bikes competitively, but, you know, I go to a Supercross event and I look at what the guys are doing and what they're capable of, and it kind of puts you in awe. And I mean, is there ever any time you walk up to the track and you see these, you know, you see guys going over triples and stuff, and you think, man, I'm doing that too. It's like, I mean, is there any part that you kind of in awe, like, wow, like this is kind of crazy. This is intense what we actually do for a living.
It's definitely not an easy sport, and it's definitely not safe for sure. But at the end of the day, like, this is what we do. It's what we love to do, and it's who I am, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, Mike. I know, obviously, big day today, big weekend here at Indy. Best of luck to you at Indy and Seattle, man, and good luck, the rest of this year.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. I just want to say again a huge thank you to Mike Genova, the team owner, Smart Top, Bullfrog Spas, Honda, GDR, Fox, Alpine Stars, all the great sponsors that I have, and always supporting me, backing me, and being behind me.
Mike Alessi, you want to talk about a guy who's been around the sport of Supercross for a long, long time, and you know, interesting, you know, he talked about, success means different things to different people. And I think by and large, he's had a successful career, made a career out of it and made a living. And he's still there riding. So good stuff. Anyways, we'll be back with Zach Veach next here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels, the Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI. The 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru Boxer engine rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru Boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry. It's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome Zach Veach to the line. Zach, good to have you back. I think last time you and I caught up, it was in person out at the Indy 500. So, I don't know, a lot's changed since then, man. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I remember that. We were in the garages, I think, on one of the practice days. So, it feels like a lifetime ago, and I think it's only been a little less than a year, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm already looking at my plans for the 500 this year, but yeah, a lot has changed since then. I mean, you're number two of IndyCar. I mean, we're one race down. I mean, I guess the biggest thing is like, take us through last year, because I think even, I know you going in, you didn't really have a lot of expectations. I know as a driver, you know what I mean? We always put a little bit of pressure on ourselves, but I know even Michael Andretti's like, hey, this is going to be a learning year. We're just going to kind of see how things go. I mean, take us through last year, because you had some really high moments. I mean, I know you had had a couple of top fives. I think, what was it, Long Beach? You had a great run there. I mean, kind of take us through last year and what you actually learned as a driver.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last year was just honestly just feel like you got thrown in the deep end and you're just trying to keep your head above the water for the first half of the season. But, I feel like we really came on strong the second half of the season. I think we had four or five straight top 10 finishes in the second half. We finished in that top 10 on a short oval, a super speedway, a street course, a road course. So I think, the potential of it started to come together real for us that second half. But it was just relaxing and kind of getting comfortable in the IndyCar. And so far, I mean, that's just kind of carried over to this season. Winter testing was great. St. Pete was a little not what we expected, but luckily we found out that there was a culprit there that was kind of making a struggle to find speed through qualifying and through the race. It kind of showed its head. So luckily we found that, and I think we're all set to go for COTA this weekend.
Yeah, well, and talking about COTA this weekend, I know I got to say, this is one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest news coming into 2019 was that IndyCar is finally going to be at COTA at Circuit of the Americas. I mean, I know drivers have wanted to be there for a long time. I know fans not only in the United States, but I think internationally have wanted to see IndyCars there. I kind of feel like, man, the spotlight is on this weekend. I think there's actually a lot of global attention just because Formula One does race there, you know what I mean? And there's always that, you know, on the back burner, you know what I mean? People always want to compare IndyCar to Formula One, and, you know, I've never really thought it warranted comparisons. But, you know, I feel like you feel like heading into this weekend there's a lot of eyeballs on this event?
I really do. I think, you know, it has the potential of being one of our crown jewel races of the season. You know, you always putting Indy out there is not even a question. But, yeah. You know, you have the Long Beaches, the St. Pete's, the Toronto's. You know, the ones that really stand out. I think COTA is going to fall into that category. And, you know, I think some people get in trouble of comparing F1 to IndyCar. You know, I think they look at the speed difference and, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, IndyCar is a little bit slower than F1 around there. But I think it comes down to who's going to put on a better show. And
yeah.
I think after just testing there for 2 days, just, you know, as the driver seeing, you know, the work that we're having to put in to keep these things on the track with such a low amount of downforce in the high-speed corners, I think that the fans are going to get definitely their money's worth this weekend. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, well, and you as a driver, and you know, and coming in last year, I don't want to say you're new to the series. You've been through the ladder system and things like that, but you know, a track like this, does it get you a little bit excited because you're going in there and it's not like you're dealing with like your teammate Ryan Hunter-Reay, who's driven every track, you know what I mean, a dozen times at least, you know, or a Dixon or somebody like that, where everybody's starting from ground zero at COTA, right? I mean, nobody really has an edge there. And does something like that get you excited because, like, hey, we're all going in here with a level playing field?
It does, you know, because everyone, like you said, starting from scratch. You know, luckily, Alexander Rossi on our team, he had a little bit of experience there in a Formula One car. So he kind of gave us a good hindsight of what we were getting ourselves into before we showed up to the track the first time. And I think that definitely helped us quite a bit. So we're all really excited. I think Andretti in particular, we had pretty good cars at the test about a month ago. I think it's going to be a tad bit warmer when we show up this weekend than it was last month. But I still think that we got a great shot to be putting all the cars in the top 10 there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you just mentioned your teammates, you know, and kind of relying on them for some data and things like that. I mean, you as a driver that, you know, you're going to be around IndyCar for a while, you know, and your career is, you know, I don't want to say your racing career is just getting started, but your IndyCar career is kind of just getting started. I mean, and to have guys like Rossi, who's won the Indy 500 and raced in Formula One. I mean, Ryan Hunter-Reay, I mean, you know, where do, you know, we don't have enough time to list his accomplishments. You know, you got Marco Andretti, who has been around the sport a long, long time and knows how to take wins. I mean, how is it for you? I mean, being able to rely on these guys, you know what I mean? I mean, what kind of data share is there? I mean, have they really been able to help you? I know you guys have some fun behind the scenes. I've seen it in person. but you know, how they've been to, you know, to get you through that first year into year number two?
They've been incredible. I mean, that's something I'm very fortunate for, because, you know, with the teammates I do have, I always know where that top five, top three bar is set.
Yeah.
So, you know, we share data all the time if we compare ourselves to each other to see, you know, because a lot of times between the four of us, if we could all combine ourselves to one person, we'd have the ultimate lap, because we go to a lot of these places and it's like Ryan is mega through turn one and three. Alex is really good 5 through 6. Marco's good, you know, 6 to 7. And then for some reason, you know, it's like the last three corners I'm strong. And it's like, man, if we could just all put this together, we'd have this incredible lap. But that's what we're doing. We're learning from each other from, you know, every different session that we go through. And it's getting to the point where it's cool that, you know, you have Ryan and Alex, you know, saying, man, what are you doing in five? You know, you're really getting through there really well. So it's cool feeling like, you know, I'm starting to carry my weight with the team, and the changes that we've been making, the teammates have really liked. And it's really coming together for us four.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I gotta ask, because I know you guys have a little bit of fun behind the scenes there at Andretti Autosport. I know the IndyCar paddock in general has a lot of fun with each other, man. Have you had to kind of step up your fun having game a little bit now that you're full-time in the IndyCar series? Is one of those you always kind of got to be looking over your shoulder a bit, right?
Oh, always. You can never let your guard down. When I first came onto the team, everyone warns me, you know, they're like, hey, just, you know, they like to play their tricks, so be careful. And I got through like the first three quarters of the season, and I'm like, you know, I don't know why, you know, nothing really has happened that crazy. And I think it was just that getting comfortable period, because this season already, we're only one race in, and it's already been like, you know, text messages galore of just giving each other a hard time. And when you're at the track, you got to be very selective of what you say in the engineering meetings, because you say one thing different, they take it, run with it, and they end your day completely. So, you know, it's just it's that locker room kind of mentality that we all have with each other. And it's fun because, you know, I feel like once you, in a way, that's how we say that we approve and we like each other. If you're getting a hard time amongst the IndyCar drivers, it's because you have their respect. So, you know, it's a rite of passage for sure.
Yeah, I can only imagine some of the stuff. I mean, I've heard some stories, and I've witnessed a little bit of it, and you guys like to definitely have a good time. But
I will say, though, I think the IndyCar driver community uses the Apple Pay on their phone more than anybody else, because, like, you can go through the paddock and there's probably 100 different bets going on, either sports or something really stupid. And it's the next day you're Apple paying someone, you know, whether it be $5 or a couple hundred. So yeah, you got to be careful what you ask for.
Well, you know, we mentioned a little bit, you know, obviously we got a lot of racing before we get to the Indy 500. But I wanted to mention, man, big news coming this offseason. Your sponsor, now the presenting sponsor of the Indy 500. you know, that's got to be pretty exciting for you. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming we're going to see Zach Veach on a lot of marketing materials as well.
Yeah, so far we've been pretty busy getting ready for the month of May, which is really, really exciting for me. I mean, just to in some way be connected to this event is pretty spectacular. And you know, people always say, well, you know, you brought this, you made this happen, which I don't take credit for. But, you know, it is pretty cool to think that, you know, 3 years ago I had nothing, and a cold call turned into a 500, and that turned into a full season. And now it's turned into the presenting sponsor of the Indy 500. So just to see how, you know, one small moment can change, you know, so much in your life and other people's is pretty special. And you know, no one has ever won the Indy 500 with the same sponsor as the presenting sponsor yet. So that'd be a cool part of history if we could make that happen.
Absolutely. You know, and talking about that, I mean, you know, you go back a few years, and obviously you've been a product of, you know, the IndyCar ladder system, and you've worked your way up. And I think there's proof in the concept at this point. I mean, I know Colton Herta has had, you know, just kind of worked his way up the ladder. Now we see him racing this year. But you talked about kind of not knowing where things were going a couple of years ago, you know, and I got to say one thing I've always appreciated, you know, and I think, you know, you've got to feel like it gives you more, I don't know, stake in the game, because you've, you know, there for a while, I mean, you were doing IndyCar radio, you were doing whatever you could to stay relevant, to be at the track, things like that. I mean, it's got to make it feel that much more gratifying now to be where you're at, because, you know, you got to feel like you really earned this, Zach.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, I'm so thankful for it every single day. I mean, it's, nothing's been easy for us. We've always worked really, really hard at it. And, you know, and then, yeah, when we got to that point where it looked like my career might be over, I hung on to it as much as I could. You know, I've loved this sport ever since I was very little, and it's all that I knew. So when things were tough, I was calling IndyCar radio, asking if I could talk in the broadcast booth, driving the two-seater, just whatever I possibly could do to, one, pay my bills so I could stay in Indianapolis and be just be around this community and hope that one day things would turn around. And, you know, all that wishing eventually turned out to come true. So just thankful. I mean, every day. It definitely shows you how far you've come.
Yeah. Definitely does. So, you know, looking forward at COTA and some of the upcoming races. I mean, there's got to be some in the back of your mind. You're really looking forward to getting some tracks, some certain tracks, ones you know you'll do well at. I mean, you know, upcoming races. I mean, anything you're really eyeing, going, you know, I think I can really make a run at this track.
Yeah, I think what came together for us really at the end of last year was just the short oval and the super speedway game. I don't, you know, I just got really, really comfortable. I started just the setup started making a lot of sense and the racetrack really became there. So, I mean, I feel 100% confident that we could win a race on an oval this year. So I'm obviously really excited for, you know, the Texas's, the Pocono. I think Indy its own beast. You know, yeah. You can't ever say you're going to walk into that place and do well. You want to be in the show and hopefully the race works out for you. But we're definitely looking forward to Long Beach. Just hopefully we can have some success like we did last year there, and IndyGP, of course. So there's just so many good tracks that I love in IndyCar, but it seems like all my really favorite tracks are always Indy 500 on, and that's when I start doing better for some reason, even in Indy Lights. So hopefully we have a strong first half, and then we can just, you know, kind of cruise that second part of the season.
Yeah, and how is that with the diversity? I mean, of tracks. You know, like you said, it's just crazy every given weekend. You know, it's road course, it's street course. You know, it's oval. How do you have to adjust as a driver? You know what I mean, with all these different things every weekend being thrown at you.
Yeah, the thing I really like about the ovals is I feel like it's a very intelligent driver's game. You know, you're always thinking three steps ahead. You're just trying to stay as relaxed as you possibly can, and you know, just biting off little pieces at a time, trying to get to the front or staying up there. And then, you know, the road courses are probably my second favorite just because they're all about precision. It's just trying to get that ultimate lap time on these very smooth, fast flowing tracks. And then the street courses, it's just pure out brutality, you know, just, you know, fighting with this car, you know, just wrestling it through every corner on a street course. It's very tough. I'd say the street courses are the most physical tracks that we go to. And for me, being a little guy, they're typically, you know, the hardest track for me to push all race long, just because that intensity is so high. But, you know, with each year, with each, you know, race, you just get a little bit more knowledge and a little more improved. And, you know, it's coming together the way I'd like it to. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
All right. Well, we're running up against a time break, Zach. I appreciate the time calling in, man. We definitely need to catch up a little more often than once a year, I think. But good luck this weekend at Circuit of the Americas, and I know for sure I will see you out at Indy the month of May.
Sounds fantastic, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona. You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
All right, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. A couple of banger guests there, Michael Lessie and Zach Veach. I got to tell you, Zach Veach becoming one of my favorite drivers in the IndyCar paddock. This kid living the dream for sure, and stoked to see how his 2019 shapes up. He had a couple of really, really good runs last year in 2018, and Long Beach in particular. I was actually there and watched it, and kid definitely put on a show, man. Good stuff for sure. So, looking forward to COTA this weekend for sure. If you guys are just tuning in, thank you for joining us here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hour number two is coming up. We've got power rankings. We're going to be dropping those in the first segment there to kick off hour number two. And then we're going into a big, long interview with my good friend David Higgins with Subaru Motorsports or Subaru Rally Team USA. You know, David never disappoints. Always an amazing interview. And this one, since he's in the UK, we pre-taped. taped, and I got to tell you, he opens up about some rad stuff around his career and the future and his son's career, and I think if you are a rally fan or just a motorsports fan in general, you're really, really going to enjoy that one. It's so good, in fact, we're actually going to run it uncut this week in Project Action, my other show, Project Action on Podcast One. You can get that on iTunes or over on the Podcast One or their app. So air that uncut on that show, too. We've also got Dave Mason with betonline.ag. He's going to be talking kind of some sports. And then we've also got a Q&A segment with Tiffany Stone. Normally on this show, we're taking it to Project Action this week. So tweet us your questions at JimBeaver15 for that show as well. All right, we're going to take a short break. We come back, we're going to have Lucas Oil Off-Road Results by General Tire next on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty Radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud, dirt, and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3 from General Tire. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. General Tire, aggressive styling with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, kicking off this hour number two, big hour number two. We got David Higgins on, two-part segment. Also got our power rankings here shortly. Would love to hear from you guys on the power rankings. It's at JimBeaver15. Hit us up on social media. Let me know what your thoughts are on my power rankings and who you would have ranked in different spots than I do. Power rankings coming up next, and David Higgins. Before we get to that, though, we do have some Lucas Oil off-road results brought to you by our good friends at General Tire, reminding you that anywhere is possible. The General Tire SoCal Shootout at Glen Helen happened this weekend. Kickoff to, West Coast. We got the Midwest Short Course League, but kickoff to short course season for sure. And Glen Helen did not disappoint. Obviously, you guys heard me talk about it in the opening segment. But your full results, Kyle LeDuc winning Pro 4, coming back and, it was just a shenanigans filled Pro 4 race. Kyle LeDuc coming back, taking that W. Taking the big victory there. Big shout out to him, man. It was well deserved. Anybody who could take a podium in that event, that was an absolute slugfest of a Pro 4 race. And you want to talk about some roller coasters, that one definitely had it. Guys, all the way to the front, all the way to the back, all the way to the front again. Just crazy. And then you got Pro 2 winner and General Tire driver Jarrett Brooks taking the W there. Corey Winter, also another General Tire driver. General Tire just dominating this event, obviously title sponsor as well. But Jarrett Brooks taking the W there at Glen Helen. well-deserved. Corey Winter having some problems on the last lap. Jarrett Brooks, who was running in second, passed him, and boom, W for Jarrett Brooks, starting out 2019 solid. And, you know, it's just a great, great effort by him. Then you got Pro Light. It was Ryan Beat with a victory, leading this thing wire to wire, coast to coast almost. Yeah, Ryan Beat just dominating effort there on his General Tires. You sensing a theme here? Yeah, me too. General Tires dominating this deal. And then we had Chris Nunes, Pro Buggy winner, wire to wire for him as well. Got out front early and just absolutely never looked back, man. Solid effort there for Chris Nunes. Then on the UTV side of things, Production 1000, it was Brock Higger with the victory. Mint 400 winner Brock Higger, I might add. And then Corey Weller taking Turbo UTV. That was your Lucas Oil results brought to you by General Tire. We're going to take a short break. We come back. Power rankings on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com. or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance, or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners. And for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right. So yes, it is that time. We are, well, first off, welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I was getting so far ahead of myself, almost forgot what segment we were in. Yeah. Anyways, I would love for some interaction. I know a lot of you guys listen, you know, online or are, you know, on demand. Some of you listen in national syndication, so maybe it's not quite live. Regardless, I like hearing from you. So it's at JimBeaver15 on social media, especially for these power rankings, because I know that it does get a hair I don't know, sometimes controversial. You guys like to argue a bit with me, and which is good, right? It is definitely good. So yeah, I mean, looking at our power rankings for this week, you know, these are we started these power rankings mainly because my friends at Busted Open Radio, they do some for pro wrestling every week, and it's a 7-day window of what it's basically a 7-day window, like a snapshot of what's going on in motorsport, and you know, it doesn't take the full season now. Granted, you know what I mean? There's outliers, right? So 7-day window, if something happened 2 weeks ago and you're coming off a win and you've got back-to-back wins, like, we'll factor that in, right? But we're not going to go back like 3 or 4 months and, you know, and so it really, you know, that doesn't matter. It's like a snapshot what's happening right now in motorsports. I don't know if anybody's doing this except for us. So I'm really, really excited about it. And it gives us a chance to mix in off-road guys, dirt bike riders, IndyCar drivers, even NASCAR drivers, you know, drag racers, like everybody into one melting pot, which I think is rad. It causes an interesting conversation, and I'm really loving doing these. So our power rankings for this week here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. My power rankings, Chris Leone, he'll throw his up online. We're just slammed for time today, so didn't get a chance to have Mr. Chris call into the show. But, you know, it's tough. My three through five for me are all kind of they're all kind of interchangeable, if that makes any sense. So it's they could all kind of be intermixed. So I guess, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is like, if you would have had somebody at five and I've got them at three, or three versus five, like it could be could be wherever they want, you know? So I'm just going to give you I guess I got to put them in order for this. All right. We're going to start with number five. This one's tough, but I'm going to go with my General Tire teammate and my good friend, Ryan Beat, Rowdy Ryan Beat. He's going to come in at number five. Prolite win. You know, he had a great qualifying run, came in Glen Helen, took the first race of the year in Prolite, took the victory there, right? So we're going to have Ryan Beat at number five. And the reason why I'm kind of stuttering through these is I'm still, as we go, I'm changing my three through five. I actually had Ryan Beat at three, and I moved him back to five because I had to think through things. Now I've got Jarrett Brooks coming in at number four. I always had Jarrett Brooks at number four, but I ranked him ahead of Ryan Beat because the field was a little bit deeper in Pro 2, and he had to come through the field even more in Pro 2. And he made a last lap pass after Corey Winter had some troubles, took the victory. So I'm going to roll with Jarrett Brooks at number four. So Jarrett Brooks, number four. So right now we're at Ryan Beat five, Jarrett Brooks four, General Tire two for two on the power rankings so far. All right, moving on to number three. This one, I actually had him at five, and now I moved him up to three. So number three is going to be John Force Racing's Robert Height. Coming off the big victory there, 50th anniversary Gator Nationals, big win. It's kind of one of their marquee events in NHRA. Not only that, but it was the 50th anniversary of that event. And he's two out of three wins so far in Funny Car in 2019. I think that says something. He's right up there at the top of the points. So you gotta give Robert Height some credit, right? He hasn't been on the power rankings, my power rankings so far. I can't remember if he has been on Chris's or not. We're gonna give him some credit. I think Robert Height definitely deserves to be on the list. Coming in at number four. Coming in at number four on our list. What I say number four? The fourth one I'm saying, he's coming in at number two. Man, I'm losing my mind today. We got Austin Faulkner, right? Just dominating Supercross 250 East. Like, seriously, this kid, insane season. We talked about it last week. We can talk about it as much as we possibly want. But this kid, I wonder if next year he's going to make a move to 450. He's absolutely destroying everybody on a 250, almost sweeping the season at this point. The only win he didn't get was when we had that East versus West shootout. And, you know, he was still right up there. Faulkner, he is coming in at number two on my list. This kid is riding at an insane level right now, unlike anything we've seen in a long, long time. So Austin Faulkner coming in at number two, which leaves me to number one. And I'm sure you guys had a pretty good inkling of what this one was going to be. Kyle Busch, number one. Reason why? Well, 200 wins is why. Took two victories last weekend for 198, 199. Now coming in with his 200th career NASCAR victory in the top three series trucks, Xfinity and Cup, getting victory number 200. Kyle Busch, you're going to hit a milestone like that. You're going to be at the top of my list, regardless of whether I like NASCAR or not. So Kyle Busch coming in at number one on my list. And I think rightfully so. I will mention, though, my boy Jesse Johnson. You know him. He used to race short course, Jimmy Johnson's younger brother. Jesse posted up something on his Instagram feed over the weekend. And I'm going to pull it up right now. I didn't have it up, but I'm going to pull this up because we got some time. I kind of ran through these a little bit quicker than I thought I would. So Jesse Johnson, 15. All right. So this is great, and I will I'll adapt it because it was from 5 days ago. So 16 seasons in NASCAR, Kyle Busch has collected 51. We're talking Cup here, 51 wins, which would actually be 52 wins now with his win this weekend. So 52 wins would be 184 top fives, 269 top tens, 15.850 laps led, one championship, right? So laps led and stuff like that, but 50-something wins, right? So Jimmy Johnson in his first 16 seasons of Cup, you know, Jimmy just runs Cup. He doesn't run everything else like Kyle Busch. 80 wins, 218 top fives, 330 top tens, 18,449 laps led, seven championships, and I will put the asterisk next to the seven championships because it could be nine. He finished second in the championship twice, so it could be a total of nine championships. Both of those went down, or all those went down to the wire. So Jesse Johnson's like, all this fuss over Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson's actually had a better 16 seasons in Cup than Kyle Busch. Yes, noted. Not going to argue, man. I completely agree, Jesse Johnson. I think if you just look at Cup, Jimmy Johnson is the GOAT. I think Jimmy Johnson is going to factor into the greatest of all time, period, when you talk about Cup by the time he retires. Richard Petty was a complete different era. You can say what you want about Petty. I love Richard Petty, but it's just just the truth of the matter. I mean, NASCAR now is completely different than NASCAR then. And that's not taking anything, you know, away from the king, Richard Petty. Nobody's going to do that. But to think that Richard Petty in this era would get 200 wins, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, I think Jimmy Johnson definitely, when all said and done, he's going to go down in the books, is one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. Heck, if he retired today, he'd already be in that conversation, like hands down, like no question about it. So, but yeah, for this week, regardless, Kyle Busch, 200, the top three divisions, national series for NASCAR wins, like that's a legit. It's a legit number. We're going to put Kyle Busch right there at the top of the list for our power rankings for this week. But I did like that comparison with and if you're an NASCAR fan tuning in here, yeah, I would like your input on here. You know what I mean? What do you guys rank higher? Jimmy Johnson's career Cup career or Kyle Busch's career with the three NASCAR National Series? I don't know. Like, I don't know. What would you rank higher? You know what I mean? Obviously, Cup's the premier division. It'd be like counting minor league stats for a baseball player. I'd say I probably have to defer to Jimmy Johnson on this one. I don't know. It's kind of what I'm thinking. But I don't know. That's interesting. It's like off-road. Do you count only Rob Max trophy truck wins? Or do you count Rob Max 200 wins and everything else? Like, I don't know. That it leads to an interesting conversation that we do not have time for today, but would love to get into on a future show. Anyways, yeah, we are going to take a short break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And when we come back, we've got that amazing, amazing interview with my good friend and I guess fellow Subaru ambassador, David Higgins.
the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I got my good friend David Higgins on the phone, and I know I reached out to Subaru and said, hey, let's get David on after 100 Acre Wood. I thought we'd have a little bit different story to tell, David, and but I'm stoked to have you back on the show. I think it's been at least a year since we've had you on, and you and I used to text quite a bit, and I don't even think we've done that in a while, but welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, no, good to talk to you again, and obviously I admire your confidence in me that you thought it was going to be a better result for me to talk about on Monday, but that's the way rallying goes sometimes.
Yeah, well, the rally started out really well for you and Craig. It just didn't quite end that way. I think you guys started out, obviously you know 100 Acre Wood very, very well. You've been there. I remember a couple of years ago, you and Travis had a great battle there. So, you've had some luck. You know the stages well. I mean, kind of take us through the start of the rally, because things started out really good for you and Craig.
Yeah, it's funny. It's actually my bogey rally, really. Like, the amount of times I've led it and had problems and not actually took the win is I've had a little less wind in that rally than any other one. And obviously, we haven't been back there for a few years, so it was great to go back. And the plan was just to go out at the start, put some solid times down. We knew we were going to be first on the road, and there was going to be a bit of loose cleaning. So it's just to try and sort of get our head down and do what we can do. And everything went really well. Won the first few stages, built up a bit of a lead, and then that carried on in the afternoon into the night, and we sort of finished the day with like a 40-second lead or something. So in that rally, it's quite hard to take big chunks of time from people. So we pretty much thought the job was done if we keep out of trouble. And then Saturday, we just pretty much went on the same thing, went on a bit more of a cautious setup. We sort of raised the car's ride height a lot to give a bit more protection and went super careful through the water, because that's what caught us out a few years ago when we had the battle with Travis and things. So we were just like doing everything we needed to do to keep everything good. But unfortunately, like a tiny sensor went down on the car, which then started triggering some funny signals back to the ECU. And in the end, it decided that it didn't think we should be driving with the issues that it was showing we had, even though we didn't have any issues. The car decided to have a rest for 5 minutes. So obviously I got out under the bonnet and under the hood and fiddled with all the wires and, you know, thinking you're going to find something to do with it. But it was just a pure time thing that I was getting in and out, and it would start and then stop and start and then stop. And then eventually we got it going, but the time off was gone and any chance of victory, unfortunately.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I mean, you guys have, and that's what's crazy about rally. I mean, anything can happen. You've got this beautiful, amazing rally car that, this thing is prepped to a T every single event, and just something so small, like a little just sensor that was probably brand new heading into this rally. You know, it's nobody's fault, and things just happen. Isn't that that's what's crazy about motorsport, right? It doesn't matter how much you prepare. Yeah. There's always that little luck element.
I know, it's funny, because when you have a, like, you know, you look at anything like the Formula One teams, the top teams, when they have a win, it looks an easy win a lot of the time, because when things don't go wrong, everything works and everything works as it should and everything, and then it looks very, very straightforward. But so many times you can never just sit back and think, oh yeah, we're going to win this one, we're leading, because you just never know what's going to happen next. And you know, especially with rallying as well, because you know, you can go around a corner, there can be a rock like right in the middle of the road that you can't avoid, or there's so many unknown hazards that you don't really know what you're going to get. And this weekend was difficult because on the recce on the Thursday, there was so much rain that some of the stages we couldn't even get access to them at the start or the finish of them. So we were having to try and find a way to get into the stages because there was so much water the night before. So you're expecting wet stages on the Friday, and then you get there and they're bone dry and dusty and loose line and things. So it's just, you just never know what you're going to get until you get into it. And, you know, Travis's favourite sayings is you're better to be lucky than good. And that's motorsport. There's times when, you know, you just need the luck and everything else to go with it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, talking about it, you said it's been a few years since you guys have been to 100 Acre Wood. And I know you've run this quite a few times in the past. You don't run something for a couple of years, roads change, things like that. And, you know, just in rally, roads change from year to year anyways, you know, just running different roads. But I know, obviously, you and Craig had some notes. How good and how accurate were the notes? I mean, or was it completely restarting from scratch this year?
No, we had virtually all the notes for the stage, but we didn't have any videos from it, from the onboard video. And unfortunately, we didn't really realise as much until we got into the event. But the last time we did the stage in that direction was the year when it snowed.
Yeah.
So we'd made a lot of changes to the notes, obviously, with shortening some of the distances or putting some warnings on some of the distances because corners were coming up quick, and then slowing a few corners down that caught us out when it was obviously really slippy, because when the road was snowy, the road was obviously much narrower, the track where you were going, so you couldn't take the full racing line. So obviously that makes the degree of the corner sharper. So some of our notes were actually too on the cautious side. And the problem with that is that you hear a right five, which to me is a fifth gear corner, and you get there and think, my God, I could have done that in sixth gear. And you start sort of self-adjusting, and then all of a sudden you get to one that obviously didn't have the snow on it or wasn't as bad, and then it's too fast. So yeah, it can be a bit of a dangerous game. So we sort of definitely erred on the side of caution, and we know if we went back and did the rally again next year, and with the videos we've got now from this year, there's a lot of adjustment we could do to make it better. But even just to, like you said, the characteristics of the road, if a road grade has gone through, you know, they can change the line of the corner or the profile of the road, the fraction, and that can make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and how has it been, you know, this year? I know this year is kind of interesting. I know the last couple of years, you know, there was a long time where you were just kind of the lone guy there on the stage rally side of things for Subaru Rally Team USA. And then Travis has come in and did some rallies and things like that. And then last year or so, you know, Patrick and Atco have come in. Now this year we've got Oliver Solberg, a really young kid who is an up and comer, had a really good rally. I mean, how has that been for you? You're the veteran on the team, and then they're bringing in, you know, different guys and things like that. And, you know, and what did you think about Oliver's first, rally here in the States? I mean, I thought he did, or her first 100 Acre Wood rally, I think he did pretty solid.
Yeah, obviously, firstly on Oliver, he's a young, brave, talented driver with a world champion dad to help him. So obviously, you know, his dad was there to make, his dad made the pace notes for him on the, because Oliver wasn't able to drive the stages because of his age,
yeah,
and not having a license. So on the recce, they decided that Petter would drive the road and make the notes, and Oliver would sit in the back. So, you know, to start with, you think, oh, that's not very good. But then you also think back, well, actually, you know, my kids are doing really well with their racing, but the thing that you'd worry the most about would be their lack of knowledge of making the pace notes. So if you get someone else to do that for you as well, it's going to be an advantage. So, you know, Oliver's won two rallies this year in Latvia before he came into this rally. So, you know, he's getting the seat time, he's got the thing, that he's going to be really, really quick. But, you know, going back to last year, the team decided to sort of switch teammates around quite a bit. So we've been used to having hard times for my teammates. You know, as far as the championship goes, we were the only one doing the full series, so we had to make sure we got the points back all the time. But the hard point for us was a teammate comes in and their only job is to try and beat us. So it was making things pretty tough, really, because you don't want to go out there and just be beat by your teammate just to guarantee the points. But at the same time, you don't want to take a risk and damage the car and not finish the rally and not win the championship, because that's Subaru's main goal, is to actually bring the trophy home. So it put quite a bit of pressure on us, really. So this year, obviously, Oliver's doing six events. I think Travis's doing two events. So we are a bit in the same boat again with that. So obviously, we're playing catch-up a little bit with missing Snowdrift Rally. And obviously now with, okay, a third place finish is not a disaster, but you certainly don't want to be letting people getting further ahead, because it doesn't take long before you lose a big gap in points, really.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and that being said, like you said, you've won a lot of championships. I think what, nine time North American champion or American Rally champion.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know these roads. You know what it takes to win. I mean, I've seen your resume recently, as of I think like 6 months ago or something. I think Subaru sent it over to me, and it just blows my mind how many victories you have, you know, and things like that. I mean, what keeps you going, David? I mean, what drives you every single event? Because you've won so many championships, so many races, and I've seen you and Craig, and I know you guys personally. I mean, you show up to a rally, and you're as hungry as ever. And a lot of drivers, I mean, it's hard to keep that hunger up as a driver. You know what I mean? When you've won so much, but you and Craig. I mean, you go in and it's gloves off. You guys want to win every single rally.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the more you win, the more you're expected to win. And the hard pressure that comes to us is that anything less than a win is seen as, oh, that's not very good. Or, oh, God, the guys didn't win this weekend. So that puts a massive expectation on your shoulders. But for me and Craig personally, we're not... I know this sounds really weird. We don't crave the success of winning, but we absolutely detest the feeling of losing. So the winning part of it, and the bit of the spray and the champagne and the stuff that goes with it, I'm not comfortable with that really, even though we've done it for a long time. But the fact when you're stood on the podium and there's somebody else above you, that hurts me for a long time. And, you know, I got off the plane this morning, drove 4 hours, got home, and because we didn't win the rally and things, I was straight back in the gym and thinking about, right, what have we got to do now? And let's get back into you focus your attention or to make sure that doesn't happen again. I know it wasn't in our control what happened on this one, but, you know, you're still going to make sure you go to the next one and you're better prepared and, you know, try and drive the team on a bit more and try and, you know, wonder, is there anything we can do to, you know, I did like a couple of hours phone call the engineer today and just trying to find in the data of what happened and what spiked it and what can we do different in case it ever happens again. And it's probably one of those things, it was a 1 in a million chance it would happen again, but you still want to make sure you tick all the boxes and make sure it doesn't. So that's really what keeps us going, really.
And we'll be back with more with David Higgins when we return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, where we're catching up with Subaru Rally Team's David Higgins. So, David, what I know you mentioned earlier, you know, we're talking about Oliver, but, you know, I got to ask, you know, I know obviously your son, he's starting to race and doing really well in karting and things like that. I mean, obviously, long term, I mean, what are the plans for Matthew? I mean, I see him and I go, you know, he's got this dad who's won championships globally all across the board. And, you know, what's next for him? Obviously, he's doing karting. He's enjoying that. I mean, is he going to, you guys looking at the, you know, the rally car route? You looking at the formula car route? I mean, you know, you've already got to be thinking in your head what you know, I guess, direction you want your son to head.
Yeah, it's difficult really because obviously, like, we're heading to Belgium on Wednesday this week for the first round of the European Kart Championships, and then the following weekend we have the first round of the British Championships. So that's going really good, and he turns 14 on next week. He loves the idea of rallycross, but he hasn't actually ever done rallying where you go through the forest and things like that on your own. And, you know, rallycross is a sport that, you know, it has its highs and lows, and it really needs to try and get some momentum to keep building, really. So I don't really want him to put all his eggs into thinking, right, I want to be a top rallycross driver, because I just don't know how the future is of the sport, really.
Yeah.
You know, all the manufacturers came into the World Championship and they've all sort of gone again. And, you know, even look at the American Series a few years ago, there was a lot more people doing it, and now it comes back again, and then you try to go up again. So it's not a mega stable platform. We've also done some tests on simulators and Formula 4 cars with the Arden team, which is the sort of they're linked to the Red Bull Junior team. We invited down there and did some stuff on that. So, you know, his goal at the moment is just to be the best driver he can in whatever he's driving. Although I've just sort of found out recently that the minimum age for the rallycross light cars in the USA had now dropped the minimum age to 14. So depending on how the schedules work, we may look into seeing if there's any chance we can get in on one of those events towards the end of the year. But, you know, it's a lot of money to find.
Yeah.
We've been supported by Dirtfish. You've supported me, and they support the kids with their racing a little bit as well. And obviously, if they're there with the team, that would be the obvious choice for us to try and do something. But we haven't really had the conversations yet, because I've just found out the age has dropped. So we could see him in the car in the States sooner than we think, really. But it's all just trying to piece it all together, and time and school and racing calendars and everything else. So it's a bit of a juggling act, really.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, in talking about that, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, kind of the turnover with rallycross and things like that. One thing I've always, you know, and I think you'd probably be one of the first to say you've been really fortunate, but you've been with Subaru for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people finding a home and finding a team where you find that success and year after year, you can count on it. You know, and I think a lot of people we see even, you know, in the World Championship and things like that, some of the best drivers in the world, you know, they're at a team 2-3 years and then boom, you know, the rug's pulled out from under them and they're going to find another team. And, you know, that's one thing I've really admired about you and Subaru. You guys have been together for so long and it just works like clockwork. And, you know, you got to feel really fortunate to have found that home and been able to carve out the career you have, you know, had with the same team.
Yeah, I think it's obviously I love working with Vermont Sports Car and Subaru. They've been really good to us, and I hope we've given them a lot back as well. And I think we've got that sort of mutual respect that, you know, we don't need to be on the phone to each other every 5 minutes to sort of see what we're doing. They know what job I'm capable of, and I know what job they're capable of. So it works really, really well. And, you know, the Subaru fans in America, they're really special, to be honest. And I think if I was to set foot in a different car, a different team, I'd be lynched anyway. So I don't really, there's not even a choice anymore. I'm literally Subaru or nothing for us, really. And that's, you know, we've got such a big following of people and people that support the rally and come to the rallies from all over the place. So it's a big sort of following that I've never really, in all my career beforehand, you were racing for the best team you could be in for that year. And you're looking at things very, very short term. So, you know, if a slightly better offer came up, you'd think nothing and move into a different team the following year. But the way things sort of got when we went with Subaru after like the second or third year, it was like, oh no, we'd be in big trouble if we left and went somewhere else. And then, you know, 9 years later, we're still there doing the same thing again. So it's I wouldn't say it gets more comfortable. And sometimes it can almost get harder because we just expect so much of each other all the time. But at the same point, it's it works really, really well, and you know, they're so enthusiastic to what they do with the product, and cars are always, you know, there isn't a better team to be with anyway. And I just sort of love the rallies and love the way it all goes over there. So we are really comfortable with it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta ask, you know, before we let you go, you know, obviously we know we're going to see you, you know, the full ARA championship. I know in the past, I mean, we've seen you, you know, race in China. We've seen you do some stuff in the UK recently in the WRC. You know, you've been known to even jump in at Gymkhana Grid at X Games. I mean, obviously rallycross, things like that. I mean, you know, any side events we may see you on? And I mean, is there anything left you feel like you want to accomplish before? I hate to even use that, you know, word with you, because I'd like to see you drive until, you know, you no longer can, but retire. I mean, what's left for you? I mean, what's out there you'd like to try your hand at?
I really still like the idea of some of the off-road stuff. I know we've spoke about it personally a few times, but it's just trying to fit things into schedules and everything is really tricky. there's no plans for any rallycross or any other events this year, really, because we're busy with the rally program and the season is going to be quite busy from now till the end, anyway. Along with the rallies, we have quite a lot of PR promotional days and dealer visits and different things. So, look at the year and go, there's only 8 rallies, but there's a lot more that comes to it than just those events. And obviously, the other weekends, I've got so much races planned, obviously, with the kids racing as well now, that there's not that many free weekends, really, that we have. So it's hard to fit something in, but I'd love to do Rally GB again before I retire 100%, but it's difficult with Subaru don't have a car that's sort of front running WRC car because of the regulations.
Yeah,
and I don't really have an interest in going and doing rallies in cars that you're just making up the numbers. I want to be there and running at the front, and that's what we want to try and do. But I do enjoy the circuit stuff as well. I still drive karts myself, and there is every opportunity to do something in endurance racing and cars. I would really like to try something like that as well at some point. But it's just, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of commitment to win a championship and to be at the top of any sport. And I think as soon as you start trying to do a little bit one or the other, you take a little bit of the edge off one or both of those disciplines you do with these. So it's not, you look at anyone that sort of jumps from one to the other, it's not as easy to keep that same 100% focus that you need really to be at the top.
Yeah. Well, I do know a guy who, when you do decide you want to try the off-road stuff, he happens to have a trophy truck and some razors, a bunch of stuff in the race shop. So anytime you want to try your hand on it.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Well, we got...
You keep saying we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We need to get on with it. And do something.
Yeah. Well, I know it was funny. Just got to see, Jensen Button, he finally tried his hand at off-road. He came out and raced the Mint 400 last week, and I don't think the results were quite what Jensen wanted, but he had said it was always one of those. He finally kind of retired from Formula One, kind of like you're saying. He's like, you can't really go and try all the stuff you want to when you're a professional, when you're racing, for a championship. But, it's like he finally got to go, and I think it hooked him. It's just one of those where it had to be the right time to go and try that stuff,
Because I think the thing is as well, if you go and do something with somebody else, that's going to be the time where something's going to happen. You get an injury or you pull a muscle in your back, and then you've got to ring your boss and say, look, I'm really sorry, but I was out playing in a truck last week and now I can't do the rally. So you do have to be careful. Obviously, Travis is the only person that can get away with that because he knows how to do events injured anyway, so it doesn't worry him. But for normal people, it's a bit more of a problem.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask. I know you and Travis are pretty close. You kind of trained him when he was coming into rallies. Any part of him ever tried to drag you to his home there in Maryland to try and backflip a motorcycle or anything, David?
He invites me generally before every single event to try and break me before an event. So I know his game. So I'd love to go to his house, but that game will be something I do once I finish driving. Cause I know that's his plan. He'll win by fair means or foul. So I know the way that guy works well enough now to know better than to go then. I also think that if I was caught going anywhere near there, I'm sure I'd have a phone call from Lance pretty quickly to ask me to do a U-turn and come back.
Yeah, Lance be like, what are you thinking, David?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I went to watch Nitro Circus when he was in Manchester earlier in the year.
Okay.
And the warm-up, he goes, oh, yeah, come to that. And within 2 minutes, he had me off the top of the ramp sliding down on a rug that he pushed me off when I was heading for the side. So... and that was just in front of people as a bit of a joke. So, I know how he works.
Yeah, it's you never know what's going to happen. Well, before we let you go, I do got to ask. I know this year it was pretty exciting. Me as a Subaru fan, I know you, obviously, you are, like you said, you have been Subaru for a long, long time. How are you liking the livery this year, the throwback livery that they brought back? I'm loving it, David.
Yeah, I do love it. It's great to see it back. And blue is what you think of as a Subaru. I think the yellow part of it isn't a bit that, I'm not saying I don't like it and I do or anything else, but I think just seeing a Subaru in blue again is amazing. And what people say when they see it on out there is amazing, really. It's just, you can't drive far and people, it jumps out of you. That is the factory race teams. So it's, you know, it's a bit like the old McLarens when they were red and white with the Marlboro colours. That was the iconic colours for them, wasn't it? It's just certain things in motorsport stand out, and the blue and yellow of the Subaru is something that is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time, David. It's always fun catching up, my friend. I know you said you were on a bit of a jet lag since 100 Acre Woods, so I'm sure you're looking forward to finally hitting the pillow at some point, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can do another hour, and then that way when I go to sleep, then it's almost like bedtime. So yeah. If you go to bed too early, you're just waking up, and it's a long day tomorrow, and I need to catch some sleep because we've got a long drive to Wednesday. We obviously drive down to the other end of the UK and then catch the tunnel over to Belgium and drive to there with a motorhome. So I need to be awake before I do that trip anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everything, David. I know I'll be out to a stage rally at some point this year. We'll definitely have to catch up in person. It's been far too long.
Yeah, good man, and great to talk to you again.
All right, David Higgins. It's been a while since I've interviewed David Higgins, and you know, he and I are really, really good friends. And you know, it's just one of those. I'm not working with Stage Rally anymore. You know, announcing the events and hosting them and doing radio and stuff like that. And you know, obviously, I've still got my relationship with Subaru and things like that. It's just one of those. Like, I think with David, he wins so ridiculously much that it's like he wins, and it's like, I'll just get him after the next win. I'll just get him on air after the next win. I'll just get him on air after the next win, because you know there's always going to be another win. You know, and it was funny because I reached out. I was like, 100 Acre. I'm like, yeah, we need to get David on. It's been way too long. I need to catch up with David. I got some questions that need to be answered. And so I reach out, and then it was like, I feel like I jinxed him. Because I send the email and he's leading the rally, and then all of a sudden he has a problem. So I feel bad, like I almost jinxed him. Because, you know, usually the safe bet is for David Higgins to actually win, especially when he's leading like through day one. So, yeah, I don't know. But always fun catching up with David. You know, a guy, honestly, he's a legend. I know as far as North American rally, he's the GOAT as far as I'm concerned. Him and John Buffum, I think you put them both up there in the same category. You know, just an absolute class act, great guy. And I absolutely love watching him drive, his precision, just the way he, you know, he thinks behind the wheel. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, I challenge everybody, go and follow him on social media at DavidHiggins75, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know. But he posts behind the wheel footage, like in-car footage from rallies. It's going to blow your mind how fast he drives. It's crazy. We're going to take a short break here, and we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry. It's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right. Well, we definitely had a all killer, no filler episode of the Down and Dirty Radio Show today. I don't know. Mine is zapped. I can't even say I'm still on a Mint 400 hangover, maybe the Glen Helen hangover. Like, I don't know. It was I don't know. It was a great show today, though. We had this thing packed to the max, one end to the other. David Higgins, big thanks to him for coming on, and my good friends at Subaru Rally Team USA for setting it up. Zach Veach, awesome catching up with Zach. Thanks to my friends at Andretti Autosport for setting that up. Michael Lessi and my good friends at Supercross for helping me set that one up. Man, it was definitely a good show. Power rankings thrown in there. Obviously, I know we didn't have Chris on today to talk power rankings. T-Stone segment, we didn't have her on today. She's going to be on Project Action later this week. We're going to do a Q&A segment with her. If you got questions, hit us up on Twitter at JimBeaver15 or at Tiffany Stone. You can also... I think we got Dave Mason with Bet Online. We're going to air this David interview uncut, this Higgins interview uncut on Project Action. Big show on Project Action this week. Hit us up on iTunes, subscribe to that show, subscribe to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Please leave a rating or review. If you leave your Twitter, Instagram at username in the review, follow you back. Check us out on the web, downanddirtyshow.com. Big shout out to Polaris, General Tire, Subaru, Vision Wheel, Gibson, Dirtfish, MotoShield Pro, Blue Water Resort and Casino, My Medic, Assault. All our amazing, amazing partners here. Couldn't do it without you guys. Hopefully you guys definitely have a great week. Don't forget, it's at JimBeaver15 on social media, and Dirtfish, you want a discount there, it's JB Dirtfish for 15% off. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Be safe. As always, game on.